Amen. Let us pray. Lord, be with us now for these next few moments as we consider thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible is filled with stories and accounts of situations taking place in the midst of the most extraordinary, uncertain times. In fact, many of the Bible stories that we love so dear, the Psalms and the hymns, the Proverbs that bring us the most comfort, they reflect times of extreme uncertainty. You see, the Bible isn't about a book about rich people having fun, where every day is better than the day before, where the world is at complete peace, where there's no divorce, where there's no one that dies, everyone's kids graduate from Adventist school, go on with full scholarships to Loma Linda to study medicine, where they live stress-free lives and wrinkle-free existences, everyone living happily ever after. If you're looking for that in the Bible, you will quickly become very, very disappointed. In fact, in nearly every story and passage, particularly the ones that we hold so dear, Moses parting the Red Sea, Samson and Delilah, David and Goliath, the thing that we draw hope and inspiration from most is that in all of these accounts, we find lives of people who discovered that in the midst of uncertainty, that God was still certain. That in the midst of the trouble and the confusion, when they couldn't trace God's hand at all, when it seemed as though God was absent or silent in the situations affecting them the most, it was there that they discovered that God was still in control. We all remember the story of Joseph as he was thrown in the pit, and he looks up at the top, and he hears the sound of his brothers debating whether they should kill him or sell him into slavery. And yet through this entire ordeal, God was with him in the midst. We remember the story of King David, and he wakes up one day to discover his son has raised an army and is about to advance toward his side to take over the throne, replacing him as king. And through this mess of a story, David's whole story is a mess. God was still with him. We remember the story of the mother of Moses, and she hears that they're killing all of the babies. There's too many of her race in the land, and so she wraps up her newborn, puts him into an old basket, shoves him off into the Nile River. And in the midst of all of the terror that she experienced, God was with Moses. But before any of them knew the end of the story, I'm sure that they wondered, where is God in all of this? Of course, we know of Mary, who heard rumors that they were out to kill this would-be Messiah, and so she escaped to Egypt as thousands of newborn babies were slaughtered. And even then, right there in the middle of it all, God was there. Through all of the pain, through all of life's uncertainty, we find that God somehow still holds the world in his hands. Every story where it seems that life has spun out of control, everything that could go wrong is going wrong. All of God's activity has ceased. Sometimes it seems as though the bad guys have won. Evil is winning and is taking over. In the midst of unimaginable uncertainty, nothing has changed. God is still there, and he still has the world in his hand. You see, God is no stranger to broken situations. God is no stranger to seemingly messed up situations. In fact, the greatest works, as you look through Scripture, the greatest works of God start out as the greatest messes. The greatest works of God take place in times of personal or national brokenness. But the question for us this morning is, will we keep faith when we cannot see God's hand? Will we hang in there in those times when all around us in our lives, things are uncertain and all of heaven seems silent? Some of you may say, well, Pastor, you're right. God is with us, but that's not going to bring my kid back to church. Pastor, what you're saying is right. It's inspiring, but that's not going to get me a job next week. That's not going to take care of the cancer that runs through the veins of my family member. And you may be right. But what we do come to know is that although this truth may not change our circumstances, it allows us to embrace uncertainty with confidence, knowing that God is still in control. That life and family and the economy and jobs, the world may be uncertain, but God is not uncertain. And he still has the world in his hands. This allows us to go to bed knowing that there is a way to have peace in the midst of the storm. How many of you could use a little more peace? And it helps us to keep our eyes out for the activity of God that may take us by surprise. Life is uncertain, but God is certain. And he still has your entire world in his hand. Can you trust God? Can you maintain faith where there's no evidence of his activity in your life? And you see, it's this answer that will determine our response to continuing uncertainty ahead. You know, here in America, we often equate God with prosperity or with forward or upward mobility. We equate the blessings of God with physical and tangible things, but following God calls us into a deeper walk with him, into a deeper experience with him. You know, as we consider what's taking place today, I wonder if someone ever had the chance to ask one of the disciples months, maybe even years later, when was the darkest moment when you were following Jesus? When did you have the least amount of hope in your 3.5-year journey with Christ? And I would imagine that they would say it was when we gathered around that supper table and we begin to realize that things are not going to get better. All that we had hoped for, everything that we had left for, what we had prayed and stayed with him for, our dreams died with us that night. And even further, he promised that one of us would betray him. Things were even going to get worse. All of us were going to leave him and flee when he needed us the most. And it happened. Hours later, he was arrested and tried, beaten, and then he died. We were so terrified, and we ran, and we hid in fear. I wonder then if someone were to ask them, where do you think during your time with Jesus that God was doing his greatest work? Was it when Jesus healed the lame man or the blind man? Was it when he stood before the tomb and called Lazarus to come forth? When was it when you felt God's presence most with you? And I imagine they would say it was in those same hours when it seemed to us he was doing so little, when it felt he was absent and our dreams were shattered. It was in those darkest hours that God was doing his greatest work. And so here we are, 2,000 years later, celebrating the Lord's Supper. Looking back and remembering with joy those hours of uncertainty that seemed so dark and seemed so discouraging, and yet were filled with such hope and promise and strength. I imagine for the disciples, it was one of the worst moments in their lives. But we are reminded afresh today that in those hours, and in the dark and uncertain hours of our lives, that God is with us in our midst, and that he still has the whole world in his hands. Communion reminds us that when life is uncertain, God is certain, and that he is always at work and always in control. You know, as difficult as this may be, this is our story as followers of Jesus. We are not promised days of wealth. We're not promised happiness. We're promised the spirit of joy, but we're not even promised happiness and leisure on this side. We will experience trouble, times of discouragement, times of loss, and times of pain. In many ways, Judas's actions represent some of us who give in to the temptings of Satan when things don't happen according to our wisdom and according to our timeline. But if we just hold on, the message of the Lord's Supper reminds us that God has a plan. It's all under control, and he still holds the world in his hands. He is with us. The only guarantee we have in life, God is with us, and the world is in his hands. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you are in control. And as we take part in this Lord's Supper, Lord, remembering the good, the joy, we knew the end of, we've read the end of the story. You were triumphant. But as we take part in this, Lord, let us recognize that even in those uncertain moments of our lives, those who are experiencing death or pain or trouble or just general uncertainty, may we be reminded as we take part in these emblems and as we remember that you are in control. Thank you for your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say, God is with us. Tell somebody, God is with us. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Warfield. We're going to separate now for the ordinance of humility. Our group is small this morning, single men on this side in the room just off the hall. Single women on this side, the room just off the hall, married couples downstairs. Let us serve one another in the Spirit of Christ. Return to this sanctuary in about 10 to 15 minutes, and we shall receive the symbols of the Lord's body. God bless you as you separate.